This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
So how are you?
I'm doing well.
Yeah, doing well.
It's good to be here.
It is good to be here. It is very, very nice to be here. We've got, I think, a good show lined up today. David Anderson going to join us a little later on this hour. Still a lot of remnants from the AFC and NFC title games.
Yeah. We're far from done.
Over the weekend. Well, the lawyers have yes. seen to that, that this is not going away anytime
lawyers,
soon.
Lawyers, as in multiple lawyers, ganging up on the NFL.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. And there are, when you get a controversial call like they had in the one in the NFC title game on Sunday, that's one of the best parts about this. And this is why when the people like you who want to change the system so that all is right in the world, I feel like you're not looking at the long play here, that we would be deprived of so much content if all they could do is just go back and review that play and make the play correct. We would be deprived of Louisiana attorneys filing a lawsuit against the NFL to try to replay the end of the game. We would be deprived of sportsbooks refunding Saints bettors for public relations purposes. We would be deprived of stories like this one about the referees that officiated the game on Sunday. Having to change hotels after being harassed.
Are you surprised?
Not one single solitary bit.
Especially when we're talking about Who Dat Nation. I want to know, and it's detailed in this story, I think the Toronto Sun originally broke the story. I don't know what the Toronto Sun's
John
doing
Crick
San
of the
Antonio,
Toronto Sun.
Or New Orleans, rather. It mentions in this story that one of the officials, not Bill Vinovich, the referee, Bill Vinovich, I should say, the referee of the crew, but one of his members of the crew, apparently was being harassed on their cell phone. How do you get the cell phone number, the private cell phone number of an NFL official?
You can, rich people can find almost anything nowadays.
I guess so.
You got a friend with the feds, you got a friend in the FBI, they can find anything.
Yeah.
Now, I would think it would be a little, a little dirty for an FBI person to go digging up cell phone numbers on officials of NFL games. But again, it's not public forum necessarily, but it's, I would think if you know how to do certain things, it's pretty easily ascertainable information.
Yeah.
Yeah. So that's how that happened. But for those who haven't heard, the officiating crew from the NFC title game was harassed at their hotel Sunday night after the game, forcing them to change hotels. They were escorted with heavy security from their downtown hotel to a suburban hotel.
I'm going to go Metairie.
Probably Metairie. That's where the Saints practice facility is.
A lot of
is.
Hotels out by the airport.
Yeah, yeah. One official received, as you mentioned, Rich, multiple harassing phone calls before a law enforcement officer took the phone and ordered the caller
to cease and desist. Give me that phone, son.
Yeah.
Hey,
stop
listen.
Calling him. Security remained at the hotel all night to assure the official's safety. An NFL spokesman confirmed to John Crick of the Toronto Sun that the officials did change hotels, but said the switch was made, quote, out of an abundance of caution rather than any material threat.
That's now, a nice way to put it.
Now, big surprise that the natives would be restless on the front stoop of the hotel of these officials when this is what constitutes hosting the post-game show for the New Orleans Saints.
What's going to happen to the official? Nothing. He's not going to lose any pay.
Well, he needs to move out of the United States. He needs to go live somewhere. He needs to never come to New Orleans. We need to find out who this cat is. And when he's at the airport, you got to get on a flight, next flight out. You got to go. You're never welcome here. I mean, a judgment call. Well, what are you? Your sphincter, you got all tight. You couldn't make the right call. Listen, it was so obvious. It's ridiculous. I understand if it's tit for tat and it's a, that wasn't even a judgment call. You cannot miss that. You cannot miss that because what is on the line is to go to the Super Bowl. It's not a week 8 game or a week 9 game in a regular season. It is to go to the Super Bowl. It's totally unacceptable. I mean, the NFL should be ashamed of themselves. The league called. Oh, sorry, we missed it. This wasn't no damn regular season game. This will go to the Super Bowl. Come on. You cannot miss that. That's totally unacceptable. And you know why I know I'm objective? If that call would have been vice versa, okay, let's say it would have been in the Saints' favor. We'd be all excited to be going to the Super Bowl. I would tell you the Rams got cheated. That's the bottom line. It was so obvious it wasn't even a judgment call.
I love this is how you know it's a judgment call. This is how you know is because I would have said this.
That of course is our old friend, the Cajun Cannon, Bobby Hebert. And I believe most of what Bobby says. The part about how he would be pointing out that the Rams had been robbed, that might have gotten passing mention hypothetically in whatever post game show he did after a Saints victory, but I'm guessing they wouldn't have spent too much time on
Probably not. So the officials had to change hotels. Meanwhile, there's been a lawsuit filed.
Right, and Bobby's plan, as you heard, is clearly to deport the officials
involved.
They need
to get out of the United States.
Kick them out of the country, and I would guess Bobby would also go along with a plan that included building a wall to keep them from coming back.
Right. So a lawyer in New Orleans, second part of the story, has filed a petition on behalf of the New Orleans Saints fans against Roger Goodell, the NFL, and NFL Properties, which is the league's marketing arm.
Yeah.
Somehow, if I'm in the league's marketing arm right now, I'm like, what did we do? Where's Vinovich in this thing?
Frankie D filed the lawsuit.
Yeah, Frank D'Amico, the petition filed on Tuesday, asked for a judge to force the league to reverse the no pass interference call by Rams DB Nickell Roby-Coleman on Saints wide receiver Tommy Lee Lewis, and at least restart the game from that point to its conclusion per Goodell's powers in Rule 17, Section 2, Article something.
17-2-1.
17-2-1. Okay, the story I'm looking at is missing the article number.
Which basically lays out if a quote-unquote calamity occurs, an extraordinary calamity causing such unfairness that the commissioner does have the authority to do something about it.
Damages include past, present, and future anguish, emotional trauma, loss of faith in the NFL, loss of enjoyment of life, and distrust of the game.
Yeah.
The two fans listed as part of the action are two season ticket holders, Tommy Bedeau, a lawyer in D'Amico's office, and Candace Lambert, a local nurse.
There's another firm in Lafayette that's apparently planning to do the same thing. So multiple legal, quote-unquote, legal challenges to the NFL to right this wrong.
How big a loser do you have to be to file a lawsuit against the NFL
over
the result of a sporting event?
Now, does it make me a loser that if I say, you know what, if Roger Goodell came out today and said, this Sunday on the bye week, we're going to pick it up at 149 and determine the true winner of that game, does it make me a loser if I would say, yes, perfect, do it. That's the right thing to do.
Okay, until the last part, I would have said no. Until the last part, I would have said no. You're a radio host who's looking for a good story like I am. For radio, it would be incredible if he did that. I think it would be the worst thing you could do as the commissioner of the league. And that's why the last part, Rich, I'm not going to go so far as to say you're a loser that you say that, but it's not the right thing to do. It's a missed call in a football game. Missed call, an egregious missed call, but a missed call nonetheless. There's nothing dirty about it. None of these referees are on the take. They made a bad call, and it's part of the rules. Guys make bad calls. They happen all the time. And if you do it for this, now what? Does it have to happen in the last 2 minutes for it to be something file a lawsuit
obviously
over?
Obviously, all sorts of caveats and qualifiers and, conditional
things.
Just
don't ask me again, because if you ask a second time, I am going to call you a loser.
Okay. Yeah. Duly warned.
Okay.
What we didn't include in the conversation yesterday about this, and we noted that both the Washington Post and ESPN were reporting that there will, according to their sources, that there will definitely be discussion of this in the offseason by the competition committee to possibly come up with a solution to avoid similar situations. In other words, allow some of these PIs / judgment calls to be eligible to be reviewed via instant replay. One thing we didn't mention that was being pointed out, I think, this morning by Judy Batista, who works for the NFL Network. I want to say she used to be with the New York Times covering the NFL. She pointed out that, there's probably going to be a discussion about whether pass interference calls will become reviewable. That does not mean non-calls will become reviewable. She's pointing out that, look, they may decide to include some judgment calls under the umbrella of reviewable calls, but it's probably not going to include non-calls. In other words, if a flag had been thrown on that play and it was clearly not interference, that might be reviewable. But the fact that no flag was thrown, good luck with that.
Here's the scary thing about that, Rich. Here's the scary thing about that is that they already treat touchdowns and turnovers that way because they're automatically reviewed by the league. So referees feel like if something is marginal, a touchdown or a turnover, let it play out because a team doesn't have to use challenges for it. They're already mandated to be reviewed, and we can bring the play back to the juncture very easily where it was. But those are very black and white things. Here's my concern with doing that is, are you going to get referees who err to the side now of pass interference because they know that if a coach really has an issue with it, they can drop the red flag on it and it's going to get reviewed. And now, are we going to get, maybe not a ton more, but are we going to get incrementally more pass interferences? In other words, are referees going to err to the side of throwing the flag because reviews exist for throwing the flag but not throwing the flag? And my concern there is this concern that you and I share, which is that pass interference in the NFL is way too punitive right now.
No doubt.
That it's a spot foul. So could we see officials now becoming more erring to the side of throwing a flag? Some may argue they already do err to that side nowadays, that DBs can't get away with anything anymore. But would it be even worse if that was the review rule? And now all of a sudden you've got these plays that are kind of 50-50, or they're subjective plays, where if you get a review official or you get a referee who's reviewing it, that feels like, it's really got to stick out on the film that it's not pass interference. Are we going to get a lot more of these unfair spot fouls in the game? That would be my concern with that.
That seems like a flawed way to look at it.
Yeah,
it's an extremely sticky wicket. There's no doubt about that, and there's no easy solution to this.
That solution's not going to help people like you get a real solution to it.
And that's what I was just going to mention. I mean, but that despite it being the stickiest of wickets, it's still a problem. And I'd like to see some effort made to address it to possibly avoid a situation like this happening again.
What up, y'all? It's your boy Danny Green, 3-time NBA champ. You either rooted for me or rooted against me. Join myself and my co-host Harrison Sanford on the Inside the Green Room podcast.
It's a podcast that brings you never-before-told tales from the locker room to candid interviews with basketball legends to breakdowns of what's happening in the NBA right now. Whether you're a diehard fan or casual about your hoops, this podcast brings you the game like never before.
Follow Inside the Green Room on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.